You made it.
Yeah, I walked over to the city hall and I probably over here then.
I got your sign-in sheet right here. You can sit down next to me.
I better give this to Stephen so he can run the meeting.
Where else would they be? Let's see.
Well, all of the postings around town said Jeannie Birch Building.
Oh, well, you know, who reads those?
I know.
It doesn't take very long to get from there to here.
That's right.
Good one.
There we go.
All right. I call the meeting to order. This is just to read to go through.
Well, exactly. And sir, the first, like the bullet points there are just kind of an overview. And then after the bullet points is where it gets into, you can read it straight if you want. It's written as a script. But if you want to riff on it, you're welcome to also. We just have to just make sure we get the gist across. But I recommend reading it straight, if that works.
Just read it straight out.
Yep, but we'll have to call the meeting to order first.
Yep.
Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. Is it time? Yeah.
Huh?
What time is it?
5:31. Okay.
Okay. Public hearing is now open for the purpose of considering the proposed comprehensive plan zoning map amendment. The procedure I'd like to follow tonight is presentation of the staff report, applicant's testimony, other members of the audience who wish to speak on the proposal, proponents first, followed by opponents, applicant's rebuttal, other public agency reports, close hearing. Okay, now does any commissioner wish to disqualify themselves for any personal or financial interest in this matter before us tonight? Or does any commissioner wish to disclose any bias, ex parte, or pre-hearing contracts? Okay, does anyone in the audience object to any of the planning commissioners hearing this application?
I do.
You do?
Okay. I'm right across the street from it. I worked 4 blocks from a brewery down there in Portland, and I didn't like it.
So, sir, there will
it
be a time for that.
Especially in the summer.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that point where you can object to the grounds of it. Yeah. This is just to whether or not you think one of the planning commissioners might be
one of us
invested
be.
In the project or something like that. But we'll get to the hearing where you can speak about opposing it.
Yeah.
If that works for you.
Are we here okay with you, the commissioners?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Oregon land use laws require that all issues be raised if the issues are to be appealed. Failure to raise the issues at this hearing may invalidate their further appeal. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to the City Council shall be raised no later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence of sufficient specificity to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony related to the approval criteria. Will the planning staff please present their staff report at this time? Do you have that? Any questions?
Certainly.
Got it out? Okay.
Yep, and if everyone seems like most people at least had a copy, and I can breeze through it, but I guess I'll introduce myself first. I work for Tennyson Engineering, which is do land use and then civil engineering stuff, and then I serve as their planner. So I act as city planner for the city of Fossil, and then also, I think, 10 other jurisdictions, most of them in the area. I'm from Condon, so it's nice to be home and I get to spend the night in Condon when I come to Fossil, which is fun. But the firm is based out of the Dalles. So this is my first planning commission meeting in Fossil, which is pretty fun. I've been doing this job for like 2 years and haven't gotten to come out here yet. So this is great. We're working on a project with Matt and Aurelia, also at Wheeler County right now. But tonight, I'll just introduce sort of the project, and then we will go into the applicant can speak, and then opponents and proponents. But I'll just give you kind of an overview of what our zoning ordinance and our comprehensive plan requires. So this project is rezoning a particular parcel. It's right behind what will be the Royal Stag restaurant. Does everybody know that building we're talking about? Okay. So that, yeah, I think it's at 414 Second Street. I just went by there today. The point is it's zoned residential 2 right now, which, of course, just allows housing. That building there is not a typical residential structure. Not that that necessarily matters, but I think it's a factor. And so to rezone it commercial is the request. So we do have specific criteria that has to be met. What we have in Fossil is we have a zoning map and a comprehensive plan map that is one. So we're amending both today, even though it's one map. So that's why it's a comprehensive plan / zoning map. So going into our criteria, all the criteria I addressed in here are from our zoning ordinance. So it's deemed a quasi-judicial hearing as opposed to a legislative hearing because it affects a particular piece of property. You're not saying, oh, we're changing all of downtown to residential. It's a particular property requested by a particular property owner. So it's a quasi-judicial hearing, meaning you guys are acting as the judges in this case. Does it meet the criteria of our zoning ordinance and of state requirements, which our zoning ordinance should meet? So I didn't somehow number these pages, which makes it a nightmare to follow. But when we get into the specific goals here, which I think is page 3 under quasi-judicial hearing requirements, the first one is that the changes in conformance with the comprehensive plan and also the goals and policies of the plan. So it's obviously not in compliance with the comprehensive plan map because we're trying to change it. So we're allowed to do that, but I will address all the specific goals in our comprehensive plan. Citizen involvement, obviously we're satisfying that by being here tonight. Everyone has been invited for the past 2 weeks to participate if they'd like. Anyone can speak on it, whether they oppose it or they're for it or they're just curious about it. A lot of these don't apply, such as agricultural lands, forest lands, things like that. It's just not really relevant. We're talking about a residential property becoming a commercial property. So I think goal 9 does apply, economic development. Obviously, if you have a commercial property, you have more likelihood for economic development. Housing is a part of economic development, but is a less straight train to that goal, which leads to goal 10, which is housing. Of course, if you take away residential land, you have less land for housing. Housing, as I noted in here, is a need in Fossil, of course. I think the reason I support this in my staff report is that it seems like this property is set up to be more of a commercial space as it is. As planners, it's like, okay, well, we're looking at the future too. Is that building always going to be there? Probably not. But at the same time, it is within the commercial area. It's immediately adjacent to other commercial properties, which makes sense, is what you kind of try to stay away from, is saying like, oh, there's a house clear out here in the middle of the residential that we're going to change to commercial. It's like, is that good planning for the future? Maybe not. But this is, as you all know, in downtown, it has obviously been commercial in the past, or served a commercial function. It probably did that before there was zoning. But so in that one, it's like, yeah, okay, it takes away potential for housing, but is that building going to serve as housing versus commercial? It sounds like it has in the past, but is an unlikely future, I would say. Public facilities and services, it's obviously served by both sewer and water here. There's really no impacts to energy conservation or transportation. Getting into the other criteria here, I think these are good things to weigh it against. The showing of public need for the rezoning and whether that public need is best served by changing the zoning classification on that property under consideration. So in this case, I think in our smaller towns, a lot of times it's like, okay, if this isn't happening, is it vacant? You know, there's kind of this opportunity where you have to look towards the future, but then there's also like something is presenting itself. Is there a way we can facilitate growth and prosperity? And looking at that, and that's what you guys will have to determine. But I mean, is there a need for it? I think, you know, the applicant obviously thinks so, that they're able to turn this into something profitable and something to serve the community. The public need is best served by changing the classification of the subject site in question as compared with other available property. I think this one's easy, where it's an obvious, used to be a commercial structure. It is in the downtown area, it's more appropriate than other residential properties to become commercial. I think that that one is easier than that first one. The potential impact upon the area resulting from the change has been considered. So tonight, you know, weighing those, what happens if this does become commercial? Does that impact the adjacent residential properties? How does it impact the other commercial properties in the area? It seems like, you know, there are potential negative externalities of a building being used in whatever fashion. You know, this could be used for what Mr. Hawkins wants to use it for. He could sell it tomorrow and it could become a different commercial use. I think one thing to consider is that I think every single commercial use in the commercial zone has to come to you folks as a site plan review. So there's not like an opportunity for someone to put just like a butcher, you know, like a meat packing facility in there tomorrow or something. So you are protected in that way. But those are sort of our criteria overall to consider. And then there's a bunch about whether it impacts your transportation system plan. And obviously there's a street right there. It's certified. There's nothing major going on there. That's the overview. If anybody has any questions, I'd love to answer them.
Questions on the staff report? Yeah. Okay, so now is the applicant present? I would like to say something. Okay, your turn.
All right. So the building in question is attached to the restaurant that I'm currently operating. I actually purchased that restaurant based on being able to move my brewery into the facility. It's a 2,500 square foot warehouse with a floor drain and three garage doors. There is probably a 150 square foot area that had been used previously as a residential spot, but primarily it's a big concrete box. So it's really not by any means residential. I have been operating my brewery out of there for the last 2 months. I don't think anyone's had any complaints about noise or anything else. It's a quiet operation. It doesn't produce
noxious odor.
Yeah, there's nothing that comes out of there, and no one has said anything about that yet. So it's been operating for 2 months, and if nobody's noticed, no one's going to notice. Other than that, yeah, it just makes sense to have. I own both pieces of property. They're both attached by a common wall. I would like them all to be joined up as one commercial property.
Okay. So next will be other members of the audience. This is your turn. Who wish to speak on the proposal?
Well, I'd like to know what the drain has to do, where it goes into the sewer line, and how much impact that's going to have. I've had it mentioned twice in my personal presence. You one and another mentioned that fact. That bothers me somewhat. I don't know what the end of that would be, but I don't understand your thinking that it'd be better to have it in town than out of town, because it don't suit me, and I don't know if it's going to suit a lot of people when it finally gets going. I have no objections to the restaurant. That's fine. We need a restaurant here.
Sure.
But we don't need a brewery. There's lots of them around the country already, and beer and liquor of all kinds is available to anybody that wants to get it, so I just don't see the need to have it.
Can I speak to that?
Yes.
Yeah. So when I opened up Tiger Town Brewing Company in Mitchell was almost dead. I now do $1 million a year out of that little business over there. I've been running my brewery out of a tiny 200 square foot place. It has brought millions of dollars into that community. I propose that opening a brewery here that serves Fossil and represents Fossil will do the same thing. We'll promote more tourism, bring more tourism dollars and ultimately tax dollars. The property values in Mitchell have more than quadrupled in the last 7 years since we've opened.
I noticed something about that. Whenever property values go up, taxes do too.
That is true. That is true. But if you're trying to sell
a lot of people in this town are on fixed income, they can't take higher taxes. And I'm one of them. We struggle to even pay the taxes we do.
Well, that's Aurelia's fault.
I do not control all the taxes in the county. Those are voted on.
Yeah, those are ballot measures faults.
So those are your grievances, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, applicant's rebuttal, we heard that. Other public agency reports, are we doing that, or?
I mean, to speak as far as the drain issue, it all goes into the sewer just like everybody else's wastewater. We haven't had a problem yet. I've talked to Mr. Hawkins about if it becomes a problem in the future, that he'll have to work on some things on his side, and he was agreeable and aware of that. But I mean, it's no different. I mean, running the restaurant waste down the public sewer, I mean, it all goes to the same place. It all gravity feeds down the hill. It can clog up for any number of reasons, and mostly roots are a problem around here.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as that as an issue.
I think the Oregon law requires a grease trap for the restaurant.
And his restaurant has a grease trap, absolutely. Yep. So, and I saw him out working on it here a couple months ago, so. We're good there, and he's not going to use a ton of water.
I have a question. I don't know if this is procedural, like the right time, but so Sean, is it going to be just pretty? What's the capacity right now that you're making? You know, 10 barrels, or you know,
yeah,
I don't know how it works.
It's a 2 barrel right now, and I am doing approximately 300 barrels a year.
Okay.
I'd like to step up to a 10, which makes 800 barrels.
Okay.
A year. Still not a significant difference. That's actually a pretty small brewery, all things considered.
Right. So is that kind of the plan then, is to stay within those parameters?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've been running it for 2 months now already?
Yeah, the brewery has been operating for 2 months.
Right.
In that spot. Yep.
Dale, have you noticed a smell in the last 2 months?
Well, I've noticed a smell, actually. We have a neighbor that has a pot problem. And we get that, too. With,
what do you think this beer smells like? Pot?
Mary and I both have problems with the smell of beer. And I work so close to one down there in Portland, and 4 blocks is not really that close. But it was bad.
And was that a larger brewery? Was this the same size or a larger?
It actually was, really. But I could sure smell it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you smelled this one at all?
Well, I don't know. We've been noticing a smell, but we didn't know what it was.
Might be my cooking.
It could be. I wouldn't know for sure.
Sean, would you be open to maybe some kind
we
of...
Didn't.
I don't know, weather stripping that mitigates odors. I'm not sure what it would be.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any complaints, I'll absolutely address them.
Is there venting? I mean, how is it vented?
Yeah, it's vented into the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not on that end of the street. It's more in towards the...
Right, it vents into the courtyard towards the restaurant. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so do you just, how do you vent it? Do you just have a big HVAC system?
There's just literally fans that push stuff out through the screens. There's not much to vent. There's a little bit of condensation that on a brew day, which is 2-3 days a week, we vent the condensation out. But for the rest of it, I mean, everything's in airtight stainless steel things, so there's no aroma that doesn't come other than on brew day, and that's the smell of boiling barley.
Right. Well, maybe a filter. I mean, I'm not sure what the...
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that you cannot smell it unless you go into the brewery itself. I don't think you can even stand outside of it and smell anything.
Okay. But it sounds like if it becomes a problem, you're willing to.
I'm absolutely willing to make things work.
Well, I live right near you. You know, over here, I haven't smelled it. Honestly, but of course the wind kind of blows the other way too. My wife's cooking's another thing.
Do you foresee any changes to traffic flow? Big trucks coming in?
No, I mean, we have a Cisco truck that comes every week, and we have a delivery truck for the brewery that comes probably once every 6 weeks. That's the change. Otherwise, I take everything off-site in my pickup.
So when you increase to the 800 barrels per year, are you going to see an increase then in how often the truck comes?
Yeah, I mean, we could see a truck come once every 2 weeks.
Pretty significant.
All that traffic.
And you already said it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, I mean, the brewing process is, there's no noise to it at all, so there's no mechanicals. I mean, it's just a boiling
vacuum.
Yeah. Refrigeration and boiling water.
That's all the questions I have.
What about the water usage for this? Is it?
Right now, it's minimal, like way down. I just assumed it was people washing their hands in there, so that's how little, or you know, it's not like a regular residential unit,
right.
So it's way less than that.
But they would pay if it was over a certain amount, like.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't charge them double.
Well, that would be the commercial rate.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
But
well,
that's
not
double. It's, I mean, I think the water rate goes up like $7 a month, and then the sewer rate goes up, I think it's $12. So it goes to, $97 instead of an $82.09.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the brewery, you know. But as far as water usage, and that, everybody gets that $10,000,
right.
Or 10,000 gallons. So anything over 10,000 gallons, they're. The residential step rate starts at $1.50 per thousand up to from 10 to 20. Commercial goes from $2.50 from 10 to 20, and it just it starts up a little bit earlier. So instead of going to $5 per thousand over 40, they're going $5 per thousand over 30. So
okay.
He would be no different than any of the other commercial
right.
structures. And you know, his back to the truck issue, I mean, I don't see his. The Cisco truck stops at Haven House in the middle of the road. It stops at the Merck,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the school or everywhere else around there. It just makes its rounds like all the other trucks do. So, and I don't, I say this, not probably an accident tomorrow, but we haven't had an accident. You know, most people don't drive that fast downtown. So, and it's pretty commonplace. I mean, not that it'd be nice to have a loading unloading zone, but then you got to make everybody do that. You got to make Haven House do set one
mm-hmm.
up, and the schools, and the Merck kind of does, but they still have to take deliveries
right.
in the front too, so mm-hmm. it's no different.
Thank you.
Any other comments? No? Well, then the public hearing's now closed, that part of it, so. All has been said, right? And are we going to
deliberation decision?
Yeah.
Yep, so this is kind of where you folks can discuss where the public isn't allowed to comment anymore. You guys can discuss what you've heard against the criteria that you have in the zoning ordinance and determine if it's a good fit or not. And when someone makes a motion, just remember this is just a recommendation to the city council, and then they have to. Basically, it comes before them, and it's not a whole new hearing unless they want it to be. So it'll just come before them, and they can either say, yep, Planning Commission did their job, read the minutes, looks good, approved. Or if they have more questions, they want to dig into it, they'll set it for the next meeting and advertise a new public hearing, and it'll be like you guys never met, basically. It just depends on what happens. Sometimes councils are really curious about a particular thing or notice something or something changed in the meantime. Mm-hmm. But usually, in my experience, it's just like, yeah, that's why you have a planning commission. You guys held the meeting, you held the hearing, approved. So that's just so you know, it's a recommendation.
And I don't vote on planning commission recommendations because I vote on the next step.
It's great that you're here, though. That continuity helps a lot.
It's nice. Telecommunications
speech. No, I'm looking at your passwords. I'm just kidding.
Building codes. That's the password here.
Well, somebody want to make a motion or to recommend we send it to the city council?
Is it okay if we make a motion with the condition that if there are complaints in the future, Sean will make his best effort to mitigate the public complaints?
Was that a mumbly second?
So in this case,
so we can't make a conditional motion.
Not on this specifically. Mm-hmm. If we went through a full site plan review process, which is totally possible, you can. But for just the zone change, no.
Oh, yeah. It's just a zone change.
No. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because that would be super normal.
Is that something then that city council could put into it with a zone change, saying with the caveat that, you know, if there's future concerns, then it will be addressed? Or does that have to go
the
to the public
would have
again?
The opportunity to go to city council and file
say,
the complaint,
yes,
and
exactly.
Then the city council would have to address that. And that's not our issue right here. Our
right.
issue right here is
it's
the zone change. So, yeah,
yeah. Right.
So if
but
we pass this and it goes forward and, you know, like Mr. Myers has a problem, he has to go to city council.
Right.
Or write
right.
another.
Yep, and that would be addressed in the nuisance ordinance.
Okay, great.
Of the ordinance officer to address.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the zone change.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to make the zone change. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, well, motion carries then for that. Okay.
Did you folks have any other business at this meeting?
No. You're right.
We're going to close the
no.
meeting.
No.
So we'll make the recommendation to the council, and then I'll move to there.
Okay.
All right, we'll cut up the minutes. We'll get them out to you.
Does Steve make the recommendation at the city council? Which I'm not sure how it works.
I think it just goes on the
agenda
with the,
okay.
And we'll have the minutes and report. So.
And the we'll give the minutes that you made the recommendation to them to read ahead of time, so that they come in there, and then if they have questions, they can come talk to us.
Okay.
But theirs isn't a conditional use either. So they're not going to be able to impose conditions.
No, it'll be the exact, they'll basically,
yeah.
They'll either say, we need to hear this again, or approve what you said, exactly. Then I'll write up a recommendation to them, that'll just kind of the bullet points of what happened tonight, and have it signed by the chair. It's nice to meet you all.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.